on Aesnin since I was about 16 or 17 when I first started reading the diaries. And I, over the course of my life, I got rid of them, probably in order to move or whatever. And I recently restocked them again, and I will never lose them again. I've also got a lot of her fiction, and I wanted to talk a little about her and to read some of her stuff. I won't have time this morning, seeing as how it's 6:33, to read the story that I sort of semi-thought about promising at the beginning of this show. I try never to get tied down to things, but I do have at least another 25 or so minutes here to spend with you. And another upcoming show on the 21st of April, I'll be on twice in April, is an analysis, a Jungian psychological analysis and a historical analysis of the phenomenon of the Black Madonna. Now, I know this might sound like it's coming out of another galaxy to you, but this is another thing that's been very interesting to me. I have been very interested in it. And sometimes, most of the time, with listening to BAI, has proven to me that you may not have any interest at all in a subject, you, the audience, but if the behind the mic is interested enough in it and believes in it thoroughly enough and is able enough to communicate their ideas, somehow you get interested in it. I have found, listening to BAI from the early 80s, as I have, that I've gotten interested in topics that I never would have thought. Cuban big bands of the 40s because of Al Angeloro. Soca music because of Beaumont Small. I mean, I've done this, and it's just a way of communicating. Fanaticism, fanatic radio is a way of communicating. So the Black Madonna as the archetypal and psychological implications and the historical implications, that will be on the 21st. The other thing I would like to ask, seeing as how it's almost a reasonable hour of the morning, is I would like some sign that I have an audience, that I have people who listen to me. And the way you can prove this to me is not by calling here, because I'm trying to pack too much into a two-hour show to take phone calls. I get distracted when I'm off the air, and this is not the kind of show that takes phone calls on the air. So therefore, in order to communicate to me, you have to do a little more than that. You have to write to me, or I'm asking you to write to me in order to communicate. And you can write right to the station here. The name is Sharon, Sharon, Griffiths, Griffiths. And it's WBAI, 505 8th Avenue, New York, 10018. Send me a postcard. Send me a letter. Tell me, how am I doing? I need to know that. I need some feedback. So, after pleading and cajoling for that, telling you what I'm going to be doing in April, one more thing. An upcoming show I have been gathering ammunition for, so to speak, is at least one show on domestic violence and violence towards women in general. I've got a lot of poetry, stories, and newspaper articles, and even a helpful hints book. I've received this fabulous book at work on what to do if you are a battered woman, all the way from the best ways of escaping the relationship, all the way to how do you know if an injury you have sustained is life-threatening, and if so, what to do about it. It's just a book from A to Z. It's not going to be a pretty show, but then again, it's not a pretty subject. That'll probably be coming up in May or sometime after April. Anyway, let's talk about, or let's listen to, the words of Marie Scheer as she talks about people, mealy-mouthed broadcasters, which I definitely hope I am not one of them. Bad English, but anyway. They don't talk English real good on broadcast news. Sample 10 networks and local stations in New York City, and you'll swear that many newscasters learned their mother tongue from J. Danforth Quayle. Not knowing when they've already said something, they repeat, peat themselves, elves. A typical newscast is redundant. The problem stemming from a signal problem that caused a smoky condition. There are bank money market accounts that you'd have in a bank, and so much unanimity about investments. The auction broke a new world record. We hear about a newborn baby, not a geriatric one. Grim-faced detectives, as against the grim-livered variety, and war preparations for military action, unlike war preparations for the cat show. The Pope hopes 1991 will be a year of peace and not of war, lest we think the alternative to peace is asparagus. Someone is brutally tortured, like those people who keep being brutally murdered. A bridge will undergo urgent repairs that are necessary. Construction has closed part of that ramp structure. Use that ramp hologram as your alternate route. A co-anchor thinks he made a brief cameo appearance. Dan Rather, that blithering showboat, refers to another airfield, not this one, meaning one separate and distinct from the one here, located elsewhere, probably on another site. In full flower, news babblers abandoned English entirely. A police officer tried to subdue a family argument when a 3-year-old boy brings a loaded 25 caliber automatic pistol to a daycare center, stuffed in his little pocket. A teacher found a big surprise. How did the teacher fit into the pocket? The yammering can keep us from noticing that anchors and reporters have been too indolent to find facts. Flapping tongues fill airtime that information should occupy. It's easier to report that people have been injured in a building fire than to identify the kind of building. Duck soup to place a fire just blocks away from a firehouse instead of specifying 2 blocks or 200. Child's play to say that victims were taken to area hospitals instead of bothering to find out which hospitals. Less trouble to say that she was rushed to the hospital than to determine how long she lay on the sidewalk awaiting the ambulance and whether it actually sped her to the hospital or crawled through heavy traffic that refused to yield the right-of-way. Hearing that there was some heavy demonstrating taking place, we don't learn whether the demonstrators were multitudinous, vociferous, tenacious, or obese, only that the reporter hasn't done her homework. As Christine Kraft has explained, broadcast executives can be rough on the newswomen they consider too old, too unattractive, and not sufficiently deferential to men. So they hire a woman who has referred to Senator Glenn of Iowa. Iowa has 4 letters, 3 of them vowels. That's close enough to Ohio, isn't it? At WABC-TV, a reporter who literally doesn't know where she's reporting from tells us that 2 college students have been beaten up during an anti-Semitic attack outside a fraternity house on the Brooklyn College campus in Flatlands. In fact, 3 students were beaten up outside a Jewish student center across the street from the campus in Flatbush. WNBC-TV's perennially careless co-anchor Sue Simmons has called NOW the National Association for Women, which would change its acronym to NAW. According to a reader of the Disability Rag, Simmons laughed and giggled on the air at the disgusting pseudo-sport of dwarf bowling. If male, such nitwits get to be president and vice president of the United States. I think this woman's angry, don't you? The incessant drivel drives you to muttering retorts. The president is flying back to the Washington White House, not the one in Duluth. Lech Walesa easily claimed a landslide. Are landslides normally contested? A former athlete died after being struck down like an aneurysm. Is that anything like a DeSoto? The U.S. Embassy in Kuwait is now unmanned. Horrors! They must have lopped off its chimney. A sports team is on an extended holiday hiatus. Is that a long vacation? The stock market shows the industrials running back down. Shouldn't the running back down be on that hiatus with his teammates? Fortunately, traffic is only minorly delayed, and the next few days will be seasonably temperatured. Unfortunately, girl, young girl, unborn baby, and pro-abortion continue supplanting the accurate terms woman, girl, fetus, and pro-choice. Lazy and logorrhoeic, radio and TV airheads slop words at us as if they are slopping hogs. Being no purist, I often use they as a non-sexist third-person singular, and if someone splits an occasional affinitive, I shan't slit my wrists. But before paying anyone a salary containing 6 or 7 digits, stations and networks ought to ascertain whether the applicants can write presentable prose, can spot and fix rotten English in copy written for them by someone else, and can ad-lib for a couple of minutes without demolishing the language. All stations and networks need staff copy editors who will prevent news babble from befouling the public air and penalize any polluter who defies their edicts. That means the editors must be given genuine clout by the executives who hire them. Fluff, puff, hype, and yipe have already driven most real news off the air. Each year we get less information and more bubblegum. Demanding that we not only get substance but get it in competent English, and get more of it from solid newswomen like Carol Simpson and Marlene Sanders. Well, that's downright naive of me. Okay, an angry young woman, or an angry woman of whatever age, Marie Scheer, from New Directions for Women, this current issue, March-April 1991. She is a Brooklyn-based writer and editor whose work has appeared in more than 40 publications. Now, definitely there is a lot of not only misinformation and poorly constructed and grammatically incorrect GI information disseminated to us unsuspecting folk over the commercial media. There is also generally a party line of information being disseminated. And one of the ways to get around that is by having a station like this one, where someone as opinionated and as radical as can be can get on the air and say what they have to say. Free speech is a right. It is a right that is being taken and analyzed and mauled and mutilated and fussed over and operated on right now, and that should stop. One of the ways to do that is to have a true underground press, and hopefully there will be a resurgence of that. There are not that many publications that I know of, probably because they're doing their job so very well, remaining as underground as they are. But there are some, and there should be more, and perhaps people will get inspired by the inanity of the commercial press, the commercial media, and just start telling the truth on, go back to the days of the Mimeo machine. Nowadays, our day and age, 1991, with the advent of the computer, the Xerox machine, the laser printer, the whole just countless varieties of desktop publishing software. There should be ways to do this. Back in the old days, it was that much harder on the manual typewriter, and you had to type the stencils, stick it into the duplicator, and crank those things out. Ugh. I remember that. That was maybe the challenge. Maybe it's too easy today. Maybe we have to go back to that other way of doing things. And then the hand collating and the hand stapling, and the stuff looked awful, and it was real hard to get it Xeroxed, and you had to kind of subvert the establishment in order to get it done at your college. Pretend you were in a department that you weren't really in or whatever. Just make up all kinds of stories. Maybe today it's just too easy. We've had too many things handed to us. That's the problem with young people today, I tell you. Crank, crank, crank. I'm going to play music until I go. And it's 6:48 in the morning. It means I got about 12 minutes left. I will be back on the 14th of April and then the 21st of April. The 14th of April, I will be speaking on Anais Nin, and as Henry Miller used to call her, Anais Nin. And after that, on the 21st, it will not take up the whole show, I promise. The psychological and historical implications of the archetype, the Black Madonna. Until the 14th of April, take care, keep listening, keep talking to each other. Men talk to women, women talk to men. Try and listen. Keep an open ear and an open mind. And I'll see you in about 2-3 weeks. Sharon Griffiths, the name of the show, Heresy. This is WBAI in New York. Write to me, please. Who am I going out with? Who am I leaving this up next? Alison Moyet from her first solo album, Alf. And this is a song sort of personifying the way a lot of us feel a lot of the time, and that's invisible. See you.
Hola, this is Rosalba Rolón. Please join Sandra Rodriguez and I for a special afternoon of music, theater, poetry, and news about women, a cross-cultural program in celebration of International Women's Month, with poet Sandra Maria Esteves, African Caribbean group Retumba Con Pie, and other special guests, on Saturday, March 30th at 2:30, here on WBAI 99.5 FM, New York. Te esperamos.
Coming up on 7 a.m., this is WBAI 99.5 FM, listener-supported non-commercial radio. Stay tuned for Behind the Opera Glass.
Hello, and welcome to Through the Opera Glass. I'm Manya, and today I've brought along a whole stack of records and some CDs and a cassette or two of my favorite female singers. Something I've been wanting to do for a while, just sit and play some things that I haven't heard for quite a while, actually. Some old records, and one or two things that are relatively recent, just because I feel like it. We're going to start with something to welcome you to the show. Dawson, the soprano, with the choir of the English Concert and the English Concert under Trevor Pinnock, that Belinda's little number from the beginning of Dido and Aeneas by Henry Purcell, or to the British, Henry Purcell. First heard Lynn Dawson when the Laughing Cavalier took me to an early music thing, and we both sat there, never having heard her before, and said, who is she, and why haven't we heard her before? Heard her another time after that. I was rather pleased with the experience. So I thought you might want to hear that little bit. Another soprano of that type of music is Benita Valente. You know, the kind where if you're singing Handel, and maybe it's Radamisto or something, or one slip in the cadenza and all of a sudden